Good to see everyone here. I just wanted to first take this opportunity after the grind that, you know, we've been through this year, the last two seasons, actually. I want to first and foremost thank all the people that support me and this whole operation. That's Jim Irsay and his family. He brings so much passion, you know, football acumen and wisdom and knowledge has helped really guide me from the beginning in the darkest days of this endeavor. I'm very grateful to him and his family for their support every day. They've been unwavering in that sense. You know, our head coach, who, you know, in less than a year took on the task after beating cancer to guide a team to 12 wins in less than a year from defeating an illness, the likes of cancer. So his leadership, the foundation he's laid, is one that's been made of stone, and it's been a rock through the storms we've had to take on the last 2 years, and that's a credit to him and his staff with the amount of change we've had, changes in schemes and coaches and things like that, and the adversity we faced, the way we've had to adapt despite the personnel changes and the injuries and things like that, which everyone in the league has to, but especially, you know, our staff is kind of unique the last couple years, and I'm really grateful for their intestinal fortitude of the last couple years. Also the scouts, I mean, who are away from their families, they always get kind of left in the dust, but, you know, without them, we don't have that bevy of players every year to look at, and they separate the wheat from the chaff, so to speak, and really help this process and help us find those players that are going to get us where we want to go. They're away from their families so much, and they really make a tremendous sacrifice. You know, everyone's going to the Pro Bowl next week, you know, but, you know, they'll be down in Mobile, the Senior Bowl, as well as I will be, because that process is already starting as soon as the season's over. So we're already trying to get better. You know, lastly, I'd like to really thank our fans this year. You know, that stadium, you know, the 12th man, it keeps getting stronger. From that Denver game earlier in the year, that was the loudest I'd heard it since I've been general manager here. And then, you know, that KC game, which, you know, anyone who was there will always remember. It was deafening as well. So really thank them for their support. I've never seen anybody since I've been here, you know, leaving early, like when I've been at other stadiums, even when teams were still in it, just getting out of the stadium to beat traffic. We don't have that here, which is fantastic. It shows their loyalty, shows the kind of character the people in this city and this state have. So I thank all of them. So go ahead, guys.
Brian, can you give us up to speed where you guys are, if anywhere, on your coaching staff, and maybe Clyde, or just where you are?
I mean, right now, we're just kind of waiting to see. You know, this time of year, if you're good, usually you're going to be in demand from other teams. I was on the phone with another team today who's, you know, they're just getting raided left and right, and, you know, it's kind of the byproduct of success. It's part of this business. That's why you got to have next man up with your coaching staff as well. So it's nothing that is unusual. It's something you hope you don't have to walk into again the day after the season's over. But it's, you know, you get weathered and it gets a little bit less anxiety-ridden as it was the year before. And you deal with it. You find the best people. You go through the process and you try to find those matches. And personality and philosophy and passion and all those things we look for to build on this great foundation we've laid. So, you know, if there is change, we're going to be optimistic about who the replacements are. But as of right now, there's nothing imminent.
Has anyone asked about permission for Clyde or anyone else?
Well, Vandy did ask for permission, but that's it so far.
As you going into the offseason, Ryan, you look at this team as a whole. Is there any particular areas that stand out more over another area as far as need for improvement?
You know, we need to be more consistent as a whole. I mean, this year, if you look at our team and our wins, I mean, we've beaten the best. The three, you know, it's already been stated, but the three of the four teams in this team is beaten. We've got, and then the other team, we were down by 7 in the fourth quarter too. But we've got to put it together for four quarters. We can't have the roller coaster ride. And we are a very young team led by a young quarterback. Everybody in this organization is pretty darn new, we all don't have years and years of experience in our select positions. But we're growing together as a family, and we're building this thing the right way. In terms of each position group, we're going to do like we have even since year one. We're going to create competition. Guys aren't going to be allowed to rest on their laurels. We're going to, stay with the mindset of iron sharpens iron, that whole thing that you guys have heard 1,000 times, and that's just the old-fashioned way. Create competition, that's when guys are at their best. So we still have only been how many days since the game? I don't even know. But we have to step away for a little bit. You know, those coaches deserve to go out to Hawaii and decompress a little bit and let the dust settle so we can get a clearer picture, because right now it's too fresh. You know, it's harder to say right now definitively, that needs to be fixed, that needs to be. And even though we have the full body of work at our disposal from all the film we've watched, because there's still emotion involved. So I think you need to step away. We need to have discussions. You know, the league year doesn't start till March 11th. We got to be smart and succinct with our approach. And, it's everybody wants to have it now in the microwave society, and then open the microwave door before, the time's even up. But we've got to, have some patience and build this thing the right way with these young players we have.
Ryan, you got a lot of guys coming back from injuries that ended their season this year. So as you build your team and make your decisions over the next couple months, how do you sort of project, how those guys fit in next year? Because everyone recovers differently, Is that a hard calculation?
No, I think because, the cream's going to rise to the top. We had to adapt. We had to play guys in different ways. We had to change things. We had, and that's a great credit to our staff, and we had to, figure out that, no, this isn't working. We got to go in this direction. And we had, to change some things. But those players that are coming back, we're excited about, because all it's going to do is create more competition. It's going to bolster our 53. It's still, at the end of the day, the more talented guys you have out there obviously gives you a better chance to win. And it's going to make those guys that are on the fringe maybe go that next step and become a good player from being an average one or a great player from being a good one. And we saw some guys, I think, this year start to ascend from good to great and average to good and so forth. So, the mindset, I think you have to have, and what I believe in is you want your 53, you want your back end, you want your backups to all have starter ceilings. We want guys that when you plug them in, there's not a drop off. We want to have, strive to have championship level players, throughout our roster. That's the goal. And it's not easy. It's not like you could just go to, your local swap meet or go to, Target and just take your cart and just grab whatever and say, I need this, this, and this, and just go grab it. It's a process. You may really need this, but you don't have the means to get it, or that thing may be irregular, or it might have some dents and some things in it that you can't spend the money on, and you need to, everything kind of has to line up sometimes to get the right pieces, but that's what you have the draft for, that's what you have free agency for, that's what you have the scouts scouring regional combines for and finding the Josh McNary's and all those types of things. We need to look in under every rock, which we always will, and we need to continue to churn this roster and to create the greatest air of competition. I think that's how you hedge your bets.
Who are some of the guys who might be making the first steps from good towards great?
Looking at it, you got to, I'd say T.Y. he sure as heck showed up this year and showed levels of greatness. I think, Jarrell Freeman has ascended his level of play. Robert Mathis goes without saying. He's, doubled, tripled every game, and he's still – is such. I had some, people from other organizations and other players, even say to me, about Robert. It's even though he's so good and so talented, it's hard to get someone that plays that hard that has that level of talent. And even though he's getting the doubles and the triples, he comes so hard every down. He's still, the football gods are still going to give him a sack or two just because he doesn't stop. And then, so that's something to aspire to. He set such a great example with our team, as well as Reggie. Like I said, Jarrell Freeman, I hate to leave anybody out. There's some guys, there was guys that showed some great flashes this year, but then got hurt. You know, and their sample size was too small. But in those small samples, you know, we were playing really good football, and they were going in the right direction. Some defensive linemen and our, you know, even Toler. And it's just unfortunate that injuries happen. And you got to make the best of it. And as you see, you know, some teams crumble, some teams rally, and so, you know, there's still some that are playing that are decimated. So I feel like you do yourself a disservice. No matter how hard you hit, I think we finished with 17 on IR. You know, and it's just like it kind of takes the wind out of yourselves to ever want to walk in these doors and not believe you could still win it all. And we did up until the end. We all did. You know, I know Jim did. We all did. So while we're, you know, happy with our progress since, you know, the new regime and since I first arrived here and hired Chuck and all those things and had two drafts, we're happy with our direction, but we're not nearly satisfied. And we're, you know, to say we're not disappointed that we're not in New York this year, you know, would be a lie. But we are going the right direction. We have a nucleus of young players, a young quarterback that's shown some really rare intangibles under fire. And, you know, we've seen that from a bird's eye. You guys have. And it's, to me, it's glaring.
Hey, Ryan, what, from a general manager standpoint, why do you think Trent never was able to really get it going this season? And he showed some flashes, but it seemed like it was a struggle throughout.
You know, to be honest, I think it comes down to confidence. You know, it's been over 1,000 times. This is a bottom line business. This is, you know, a league where, you know, you're judged on your last carry. And I thought he showed some progress this year. I thought that he did, just from a play speed standpoint, as the year progressed, just in practice, making more decisive cuts. It's all about comfort level and confidence. And, you know, there's many examples of backs that came into this league with so much promise that took a full year and had the low average per carry and things like that. We have patience. He's not going anywhere. We have him for the long haul. We don't win 12 games this year if Trent Richardson isn't here. That's just a fact. And, you know, we had a guy get hurt, our starter get hurt, and the mindset here is we're not going to just go reach for a guy. We want to go out and get the best available guy. We're not just the best guy. We're going to go to the hilt to get the best we can. And I think Trent fits all the things that we're trying to do here. And if it isn't this year, it's going to be next year, because he's going to have the off season. He's going to be dialed in as a pro. He's going to have his life in order. And we have Chuck and all of us, you know that with a year under his belt, we're going to see a different player.
Is it hard not to be patient when people say the Colts gave up a first-round pick to get Trent Richardson and the number 3 pick, and it just didn't pan out during his first half of the season?
You know, I mean, I know that's going to be the media's job to every week point at this, because it's such a, you know, from your perspective, it's such a bold and, you know, aggressive move and so forth. But, you know, really from a football standpoint, from, you know, without going into such great detail, because it's been just over and over, we've been over it 1,000 times. From a football standpoint, we needed a starting running back. Trent was made available. You know, I'd have never talked to a person in football, scout, coach, that didn't have a great comparison to another great back when they did him coming out, that didn't think he was going to be a special back. So, you know, I feel like, you know, he's going to have his detractors, because, of course, you want him to come in and set the world on fire. But, you know, he played a valuable role for us this year. I mean, he kind of did it in reverse. You know, he showed such promise on third down, and he can go and hit a backer flush, you know, in the pocket and stand him up, you know, in the A-gap at the line of scrimmage and not give any ground. There's a lot of backs that can't do that. And, you know, he functioned for us well this year. I know he's not satisfied, and I'm glad he's not, you know, but that's why we have him for the long haul. It was very economically wise as a franchise to make the move, given where we're going with the run game. And, you know, we're happy with Trent. We have a level of patience, obviously, different than the media and the fans understand, and with the history of young backs in this league and just young first and just first rounders in general. You know, it's sometimes, you know, in Donald Brown's case even. I mean, there's many examples. You know, you got to be patient, and as long as you're winning, at the end of the day, that's all that matters. And 20 years from now, it's just, all that's going to matter is wins and losses, not all the window dressing. It's the things you do to win. And a lot of times, you know, it comes down to team, and he made us a better team. And the day he was it 3 days he played against the Niners? I think it's probably one of our best games this year. And I think it recharged us when we were kind of down, and I saw it firsthand. And Ahmad ran so darn angry in that game, and it was one of the best games I've ever seen as a Colt. And you know, I'm happy with Trent's here.
When you start putting the roster together, not together, but moving forward, the dominoes have to fall, I guess, in order. Your own free agents would sort of maybe be forced just because of dates. Have you looked at that? Some players, when they tweet you, read stuff into it, they make it sound like that you may have said that maybe implied that they won't be back. Have you even done that yet, or is it
No. Is
that cart before the horse?
No, it's way cart before the horse. I mean, you know, not talk to anyone. Those conversations will come later. Like I said, it's just, you know, you got to remember, I mean, this is a long season. I mean, these coaches and myself even aren't in a frame of mind yet to make good decisions. We need to, you know, get a little rest and, you know, eat three meals, you know, and maybe just kind of live normal for at least a few days before we start making huge decisions. So, you know, we need to step away. You know, we've already had one meeting, just kind of end of the year meeting. I thought it was fantastic with the entire staff, and really got some great input. That's the one thing, you know, I feel nobody's afraid to voice their opinion here. We get in a big round table, and it's not some stuffy session where I'm sitting there with my notepad, and it's we interact with each other. It's everything's out on the table, because that way we know what the guys is at their core, what they feel they need. You know, who they are passionate about, and then you make your decisions, and Chuck and I get together from there, and then we'll move forward. But those discussions and those calls and things like that, I mean, they're still down the road.
How many of these do you have on the offensive line that you need?
Say it again.
How many of the pieces on the offensive line you need are already here?
Again, we got to look at it. You know, we also got to look at what's out there. I mean, really, I still have to watch film. UFAs, draft, and that's every position. So, you know, it comes down to two. I mean, who's up? Who's available? Who's going to be willing to take the offer we give them? I mean, there's a lot of variables involved, even if we want to retain someone. You know, there's 32 teams. Just like in the first round, you think, oh, I'm going to get that guy in two all day. But it just takes one that's thinking, you know, like you, and they go and take the guy in one. And it's just, you know, it just takes one to snatch one of your guys and overpay for him, because that's the way – I've gotten guys before in free agency. You've got to overpay to pull them out of work, because they got houses there. Their kids are in school. There's things that a lot of the Joe fan and people don't understand is guys don't always want to leave where they're at because they're comfortable. I mean, they have houses. They have, like I said, all those types of things. Now, unless they're somewhere where they're just getting their barn doors blown off every week, you know, everyone wants to get out of that situation. But there's a lot in play when you make those decisions. And like I said, we're far from being at that point.
So you were aggressive in free agency last year, and you knew you needed some pieces. Do you anticipate, or do you feel your position, if you choose, to do that again? And then based on the moves you made last year, how do you think some of those played out? You kind of got snake bit by a lot of injuries there. And
well, what's your I'm just takeaway? I'm fortunate, and our head coach is fortunate that we have an owner that's supportive of and even in the locker room after the game. I mean, he's so supportive and what we feel we need, he will let us get, and he will be supportive of that, and we can go get it. You know, last year, like I said, we kind of diversified, and we were still in year two of taking a far end of the spectrum 4-3 to a 3-4 defense. Those pieces are hard to come by. Five techniques, three techniques. They're not easy pieces to find. So, you know, we had, you know, Ricky Jean had start really showing up through the course of the year, and then got hurt. You know, Bjorn had his moments, got hurt, then start. You know, so it's those types of things are unfortunate. Toler, I thought, was playing excellent football, and that was when, you know, when he was playing, our defense was humming. I mean, you know, you saw it at Denver. You know, everyone has a short memory, but I thought we really, you know, when Greg was in there, you know, we really locked down those receivers, and that's when we had that no fly zone going, and we were doing really well. But you adapt. We found a way to still get it done and still beat really good teams, and that's a credit to our coaches, because we found a way. But, you know, you really just can't ever – there's nothing you can do about the injuries. It just – you don't know who it's going to happen to. I mean, like Ricky Jean, I mean, that guy had, like, the best physical I'd ever heard. I never knew there was, like, a 1.00 or whatever. It was like he was a spring chicken. He had like everything on him was tip top, and then he got hurt. So there's no way of calculating when that could happen. So that's why depth, your practice squad, those types of things, why we just are relentless about it. And you got guys like Jarris Pendleton and guys that come up, you know, the Sheldon Prices and the Josh McNairys that are not just bodies. They're guys that actually are ascending players that can help you win. Because if not, you get in the playoffs, you know, and you play with just guys, those teams and those great coaches are going to find those weaknesses and they're going to exploit them and you're going to lose. Year two, we have high expectations for all those guys. I mean, this is a National Football League. No matter what, I mean, we expect to perform, to when we signed you, you know, to come here and play championship level football and to be consistent week in, week out. And I think year three, we're in year three of our program, guys. I mean, this is year three coming up, and you know, we need to be consistent and we need to aspire to be in one of those teams that doesn't beat a great team one week and then get outscored by 40 the next. And that's all growing pains. I mean, we're a young team, and I feel like we're going in the right direction because that's typical of youth. And it's like, learning how to – it's the things I heard since I started playing. You know, it's like you got to learn how to win consistently. It's like, you can beat these teams that no one else had beat at one time that were undefeated and then go lose to maybe someone that's not as good. And we just have to just learn to week in, week out, beat teams consistently and not have those big swings and have to be chasing, And I thought we got better as the year went on.
You mentioned Bjorn, and obviously the injury set him back early and he had to play catch up a lot. Did you see enough this year to be able to have him slotted in to be able to project, okay, he's going to be this next year? Do you have a pretty good idea what you expect from him?
I think Bjorn, he needs to get stronger. He knows that. He got better versus the run. I mean, he had a game where, he's so close to getting a tip ball and taking it to the house. He has kind of a knack for breaking up passes, which is great. But at the physicality that, he's starting to play with, he's starting to get it. I think playing with the Roberts and just seeing how Eric Walden, the ferocity in which he plays with, it starts through osmosis, I think, sinking in. And there was one game where Bjorn had, I think, his first sack. And I think after the game, I'd said, that wasn't the play that impressed me the most. It was when I saw you set the edge and make a tackle, 2 yards deep in the backfield. That's you did your job in a physical way, like you played your technique. And you show that you're not a finesse guy. So I think year two is going to be big for Bjorn, especially having an offseason in the weight room. I think the last few years, even at Florida State, he's had some nicks to where he's had some, scopes and things like that, to where he couldn't just dig in and start training right after the season. He always had some kind of hurdle to overcome, injury-wise. So this year he goes in fresh to an offseason. Expect him to get big and strong. And I know Coach Minuski is all over him about that, about getting some guns. And looking the part, but Bjorn, we knew he can play. In the level of play that he showed in college was easy to see in the production he had in the major conference. So we're excited about him.
Like you said, Ryan, your defense did play well at Spurs and stuff. Vontae, him and Toler were pretty solid together. Mm-hmm. When you look at him in the pecking order, as far as your free agents, is he pretty high up there?
Well. Like I said, any corner, any cover corner is going to be high at the pecking order, and especially in a scheme like ours. I mean, that's, Vontae's a heck of a player. Again, consistency is the key. Vontae can be as good as he wants to be. And, you saw, in some of those games this year where he just completely erased the receiver. And they were top tier receivers in this league that it was like they didn't even play. He does that every game, and he'll be in. There's no reason he shouldn't be in the Pro Bowl every year, and he knows that. But we really like Vontae, and like I said, once we go through this process and get to that point where we make those calls and do those things, hopefully it all works out how we want, and we are better because of it.
Other guys you have to have back?
Sure.
Can you name them?
Probably not. Nah, I'm gonna stay away from that because, like I said, I'm still a little emotional. I need to be I need to step away, get with Chuck, and before I go off and say anything like that.
The injured players, are you, without going down the long list,
yeah,
some of the guys have had surgery, do you anticipate having most of them ready to go, if not OTAs, for the training camp?
I think we're in good shape. I think most of the guys are slated to at least be ready by camp. There might be some PUP candidates in there that, you know, see how they progress. And the one thing is, too, is, you know, it's just I like erring on the side of caution because I'd rather have a guy that's – you can't – in this league, it's just too competitive and there's just – teams are too good and you just don't want a guy that goes out there even at 90. You know, you want guys to be ready, especially, you know, running backs, corners, those types of positions. I mean, a guard and things like that, you play in the phone booth, I mean, you can get by with some things. But when you're out there on that island or you're playing a skill position, you need to be at full strength, especially heading into a season. Try to go through a grind for 17 weeks, you know, when you came in already dinged. I mean, that's not – I don't think that's smart. So we have a great training staff and medical staff, and we'll be good stewards of that because, you know, it's like I said, it's a third year. You know, we want to have all our horses ready because, you know, we left some great players there on the sideline this year early. And you know, but we just kept on trucking, and we still end up with 12 wins. And you know, as the days wear on, I'm starting to actually kind of assimilate that and kind of realize that we did some good things this year.
Ryan, your owner one day is going to have to write a very big check to number 12, as you know. And so from a cap standpoint, you have cap room out there, but is that already something that you need to factor in to this free agent class?
Of course. You have to be – you know, smart about. We're always forward thinking. We always, you know, before we make any type of move, are looking down the line because you don't want to hamstring yourself and lose your absolute. You don't want to lose your franchise. So, you know, obviously, I have very smart people around me that remind me. Including our owner. So, you know, we'll be smart about that, and we'll make sure that we keep our best players here as best we can.
Obviously, the goal is to win a Super Bowl every year.
Say again.
I said obviously the goal is to win a Super Bowl every year. But considering everything you guys dealt with injuries and things like that, and going forward, do you feel good that this franchise is in a position to take the next step forward next year, whether it's the AFC Championship game or to the Super Bowl?
Sure. I feel like that's our goal. I feel like last year, 2012, you know, the great thing about playoffs – and just going on and having our second one, is it really does magnify, you know, the areas that you know you sit there and you look at from even just not even watching the film, but you are kind of magnified. You know, we need to get better here. We need to add more depth here. Look what they're doing to us. We need to have this. This needs to be better. So that's a good thing in terms of the evaluation process to kind of have that fresh in your mind after getting beat by the Patriots because those are the type of teams we're going to have to beat on the road. You know, to win Super Bowls. You know, hopefully at some point we can have, you know, host a championship game here. And we almost did. You know, I honestly would be lying if I said that every year we're not looking, and this year especially, looking hard at the Super Bowl. You know, the quarterback, you know, you win in this league with great quarterbacks, and we have a great one. We have to keep surrounding him with the right people that are like-minded, that are aspiring to greatness like he does every single day when he walks in this building, when his head hits the pillow at night. Those are the type of guys we need. We need to have guys like that. He's the most selfless guy in this building probably, and he's so talented. So he sets a great example, you know, and the sky's the limit when you have a player like that and then a leader on defense like Robert and a guy like Reggie in the clubhouse. So we have the leadership. We're going to keep infusing this team with players and building in areas that we feel like we can improve on. I know the coaches are going to keep whipping these guys into shape. And the guys, even the guys that played last year in the scheme for the first year, were better this year. And I think the new guys will be better from this year to next as well. So, you know, we're all very optimistic because just in the progression we've been going, that's obviously would be the expectation is, you know, we want to be headed in that direction to win a championship and to keep winning them. That's what our owners charged me with building, so that's where my mind's at.
Daniel Adongo, what did you see from him this year and what you thought of?
I mean, Daniel is such a neat story. You know, he's 233 pounds. He just came in the other day because I had to talk to him with our general counsel about, you know, just what he, that he, you know, things he couldn't do when he left here. You know, things, you know, he had to get squared away immigration-wise and things like that. And he couldn't go play another 20-game season of rugby somewhere. We didn't want that. And him coming back 30 pounds lighter, that's not what we wanted him to do. But, you know, the guy was 233 when he walked in my door, and I was like to John Shaw, like, this isn't the guy you showed me pictures of, showed me video of, you know, because he had just got done playing back-to-back 20-game rugby seasons. But here we are, you know, and he's 33 pounds heavier, all muscle. And, you know, I talk to the coaches constantly about, like, you know, certain things he does to where it looks like a real guy, like, a you know, maybe it's a spin move or a way he disengages a block and then chases. Because the guy, at the end of the day, the guy can flat-out run. He's 6'4", 270 pounds, and his intangibles are off the charts. So it's a pretty good recipe to be a player in this league, and I think he's got a real chance. And he's a sponge. Our coaches always, that's like the first word they use when they talk about Daniel. And the aggression that he plays with, I mean, I can gush all day about him because his tempo through 17 weeks is just every day he drives those offensive linemen crazy. I love watching it because, you know, he gets those guys ready to play. And when you're a lineman and you've been playing 17 games, it's like, you know, he's like a gnat. He's bothering you. And he just stays after those guys. But it makes us better. And he, in turn, is getting better. So he's been great. You know, you wish all of them were as dialed in as him every single day. So time's just what he needs. Yeah, you got it. We're good.
With everybody playing spread in high school and college and everything, you got more and more of the best athlete on the field playing quarterback, and they're starting to come in the league now, and they're running all over the place because they can run, and it's a great dimension. It keeps plays alive. Can Andrew keep running like he's running? I mean, he's taken a significant beating in the pocket and out, and that adds up. I mean, after 8 years, 10 years, you want him to be a 15-year player, I would think.
Right, and I get reminded of that quite a bit. And, you know, I don't think he runs near as much as some of the other guys do. But, you know, if you've looked at him and you look at those other quarterbacks, his lower body is that of a Dwayne Allen. I mean, he's got such a strong build. He's such a strong guy. I mean, usually a quarterback just knows innately to not pick up a fumble and do a Walter Payton over the goal line. I mean, that's his mindset. He plays like a linebacker. He's built like a tight end. He's tough. And we've tried to wean him off some of those things. He's done better. He's slid a lot more. And it's just a progression, you know. And then sometimes you want him to run it because he's got some wheels. I mean, the guy can really run. So it's a delicate balance because he is your franchise. He becomes a running back when he's out there running the ball and you can put a lick on him. And we don't need him getting, blown up by some 260-pound linebacker. I mean, we don't want that to happen. But it's a tough thing because he can decompress and deflate a defense on a 20-yard run, you know, on a scramble. So, you know, I'm not really concerned about that because I think we'll be smart